It's a Daily Talk Show, episode 405.
Happy Fat Friday. How are we?
I'm very excited. 3D Dill has, we sent him out.
Yep, and he's brought back. So here's the challenge. Bring it up. Bring it up.
Oh, my God.
I mean, wow. So I came upstairs this morning and I said to Dill, here's my card. Here's the big media company card.
You filmed that scene. Did you make sure that you... the card numbers weren't actually facing.
Yeah, I had my finger over it and it was the back of the card, so you wouldn't know. Anyway, I said, here it is. I need you to go out and get us Fat Friday's food.
And yeah, so we've been working away.
Yeah, and what's he done?
He's brought back some food.
Well, all right, I said go to the city and get this, and he's brought back Uber Eats bags. So either he has literally just stood out the front and got Uber Eats to the place. But I said, let's just take it all out so we don't and don't open it yet.
Okay, all right. Oh, it's very there's some sauce on the edge.
So I said to him,
What's that? Is that a piece of that looks like baby shit?
How have you had baby shit? That's disgusting.
I think it must be mincemeat.
Okay, so let me tell you, we set the amount, the limit, $80.
Doesn't mean he has to spend the whole fucking $80, though, does it?
But it looks like he's fucking done that.
Yeah, it's $80 on the dot.
Yeah, and, and we just got a power bill of $250 for the month. Jeez Louise. All right, so. Yes. Ready? Three.
Do you want me to open it?
Yeah.
Okay, three, two, one. These are HSPs, aren't they?
They are indeed.
Halal snack packs and some I don't know. Oh, what would you call
these underneath?
I have no.
Is that pita bread?
Yes.
I don't know if it's called pita bread.
No, it's pide. P-I-D-E.
Pita? No. Is that what you just said? You said pita bread, wasn't it?
Yeah. Is that potato in there or something?
Oh.
No, it's it's
pineapple.
Pineapple.
What? I said barbecue chicken.
There's barbecue chicken
if you put fair.
That's pineapple, baby.
Yeah, that is.
So pineapple. 3D Dill, whose is whose? How do we work out what's what? Oh, look at that.
Everybody's got the same. I put mustard on mine.
Okay, yeah, yours is here.
Where are the others? Are there a bunch of others?
Yeah, there's a bunch
there?
More. Oh, yeah. Itchy all of a sudden.
Oh, this is good.
All right, I'm going to give you that. Fuck, you put a lot of mustard on there.
I tell you what.
I didn't put a lot of mustard. The guy did.
There's synergy here in the Daily Talk Show office because I was thinking today, how good would a halal snack pack be?
And I read your mind.
What have you done? You've gone and got it. And please tell me that you didn't just get Uber Eats and stand out the front.
No, he just gave it to me in the back.
Okay. Where did you actually go to get this?
A place called The Kebab.
Is that up on in Collingwood?
No,
Clifton Hill,
Little Lonsdale Street.
You literally went to the CBD.
I literally went to the city.
Why?
I don't know. Just pass it to me. It's in your hand.
Okay. I'm always sus when someone says I want that one. I straight away go, why is that one better?
Remember when I didn't say I wanted that one and I got the shit one? I got the spicy, really extra fucking hot. Oh yeah, this has got mustard on it too.
And Coke, no sugar for you, Josh.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
As if you didn't have enough already.
What does that mean?
Nothing.
I haven't had Coke, no sugar in fucking days.
How many Coke, no sugars are in the fridge?
None. That's the problem.
And that's his point. That you've drank them.
How many were there?
There was a pack of 24, wasn't it?
It was a slab. 3D
pack
deal.
Of 24.
Is this yours, mate?
It is, yes.
Okay, he's got the root beer or the ginger beer.
Ginger beer.
I don't know, this is an extra one.
97, are you going to eat yours now? Do you want to?
No, I'll have it after the show.
Okay.
No worries. Have your soggy HSP after the show. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Can you just slide it over to Dill so we can actually take it to him?
Yeah.
Here we go. Oh.
Oh, that's risky business. It's heavy.
Take it over to it.
Very dense.
Actually, there's a few forks in here.
People sometimes might want to know. We produce heaps of videos.
Yeah.
We've upped the Daily Talk Show game.
Oh, we've been doing a lot. Mm-hmm. We're setting a high benchmark for the team.
But still doing a lot of client work.
Here's the thing, right? If you have a business and you think you have no time to do anything else, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I only say that because we constantly say we don't have enough time. We're talking about how we don't have enough time to stop and do an audit on a storage thing in this place.
Yeah.
But we've had time to add on another two shows, at least another 3 hours of recording, then the post-production on it. And we make that happen. So it's like you just got to challenge yourself, right? Yeah, challenge why don't I have any time? It's because you're not prioritizing.
But I feel
time.
Like when we started, maybe we talked more. I feel like early show, like 3D Dill. Mm-hmm. Have you listened to early shows of the Daily Talk Show?
I've listened to every single episode.
Have you?
Yeah.
And what are we talk early days? What were we talking about?
A lot of like really primitive stuff like, oh, where are we going to take this? What is it going to do? Or, oh, I had to get up at 5 o'clock this morning because you were in some place in Europe and Tommy was here. And
yeah. Was it a little bit meta just talking about doing the podcast?
A lot of bickering.
Like, really? We don't really bicker anymore.
No.
But
like, we're just pranking you.
A bit of not complaining. Complaining isn't the right word, but a lot of
whinging.
Whinging, yeah. Mm.
Exactly. The same thing.
You got a fork. Whinging by is the way.
Oh, yeah. You want a fork?
I've got forks. That would be ideal. I don't want to scoop it.
I mean, throw two over.
Yeah, sorry, man.
Wait, you want me to throw one to you as
no,
well?
No, no, no. Throw it to him and then okay, he can pass
he wants
on.
To. All right.
Pass it.
The thing with client work. That was actually a good throw. The thing with client work.
Yes.
There's a stage where you're quoting. You don't necessarily have the work.
Yeah.
But it takes, I think if you're just getting into freelancing, if you're just getting into doing your own business, the amount of unbillable hours in just speaking to people and trying to organize stuff before you even see any money can be so high.
A good way to do it from the early days. And you've actually helped me. Now we just do it together. Mm. So you still help me. But in the early days of working out what I should charge. Mm-hmm. And so there's that sort of game at the early days where you're trying to convince yourself that you're worth this amount. But I think a good rule, I had last year a principle or a mantra or a saying for every job, I would say, once I'm doing the quote, I would look at it.
Add $5.
And then add more.
Yeah, sure.
Add another 500 or add just, because the thing is, like you get scared about them being rejected or you get scared about them calling you out for that cost. It rarely happens.
Well, but it's also, it's because the asterisk there is, it is because you're undercharging at the set. The reason you're adding more is not because you're trying to rip them off.
Yes.
It's because you are under quoting. Mm. And so where I think that most people underquote in video production is pre-prod. You don't charge for pre-production because it's like, oh, I don't have any equipment. Like I'm not actually filming anything at this point. It's just my brain and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
More reason to charge if you're using all your experiences to work out what to do.
Exactly. I think you should even be able to, at the end of the project, look at the email exchange, work out how many hours and work out that you should have factored that in.
Yeah.
And it's probably a good retro thing. You can't do this from the start because I think there's some principles that you can apply from the start, but I think there's still a piece of work internally that you need to go through and feel the friction that you will feel in engaging in, you know, creative business work. And so looking back, you should be able to go, okay, there was a bunch of back and forth. I put a little tax onto it that was
pain in the ass tax. If you're a pain in the ass client, you pay more.
Yeah.
If you're a great client to work with, you pay less. And so that's like it's a value transaction that's constantly happening. But that's why it's good having a retrospective and saying, okay, this project, you know, we charged 10 grand for it, but we ended up, you know, spending X amount of time over that. What was that?
That was my tin of Coke
no sugar. And so next time, you know, okay, I think most of the time it comes down to communication. If you are not correctly communicating what you're doing and breaking it down, I don't think that necessarily means always these are how many days we're filming or editing or whatever.
Mm. I think working out how much you charge for things is, there's a lot against you. There's a lot of external noise that can rattle you. So for instance, family. You know, like people who are outside of your industry, and it's like you charge how much for a whole day of filming?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like if they're not in the industry and they don't get it, you know, then it will make you question your worth, right? And so you're like, what's his name that was on Joe Rogan, the really smart?
Ravikant or something.
Yeah, he's
like
that.
Never say that word again.
No, I think that was his name. You can say his name again.
What was Neville his last name?
Ravikant.
Okay. Oh, I got to
give it a go, Josh.
Ravikant.
Anyway, one of the things, I mean, this is a guy who is worth billions of dollars, I love the way he thinks. And he was just saying, think about what your hourly rate, what you want to be paid per hour. Don't look at the, so scrap what the industry actually charge, what most people charge. Mm-hmm. How much do you want? and what is that fee? And he's not saying go and charge that straight away, but his fucking fee per hour is like $10,000 or something, and he gets it now, right?
Yeah. Well, it's a value transaction as well, right? Yeah. So it's not looking at how many hours am I going to spend, but how much impact am I going to have on the business? So if that business, if there's millions of dollars on the line of this video being successful, you're not going to charge $3,000 because it's like there's a lot on the line for you. So you've got to consider all those things. If this fucks up, I think a great way, it's sometimes hard to looking at what am I worth. I think one way of framing it is how much is it going to cost if this thing fucks up? How much is it going to cost their business? How much is it going to cost in resources? And then say, okay, well, that's probably what I should charge. I only just thought of that then. I don't think that's a bad idea.
Yeah, I like it.
But anyway, you've been doing all this work with one client. We don't blacklist very often.
They're blacklisted. We won't say their name. I don't think it's...
Oh, really? You don't want to say?
No, I don't think we say their name. Not yet. Not yet. Maybe we'll do a whole episode dedicated to it.
But I feel like if it's blacklisted, they're fucking done.
They're done.
But also, I think that the reason why I want to say their name... Don't stress.
Don't be a loose unit.
I won't.
Bree looks up as I say loose unit.
But the reason why I want to say it is because it's an example of a brand that we've worked with that have... across like six different people that we've worked with, employees, it's within their culture that they treat suppliers like us so poorly in regards like cancelling last minute.
So if we're to be empathetic, anyway, I've been working on this sort of quote and speaking with them and I hadn't got it locked in and I'd set aside the time, worked out the resources. By all means, it looked like it was going ahead. And then it seemed like an excuse as to, oh, we're going with somebody else. It was literally because of something to do with filming at a different time.
But they'd like locked it in.
And so annoying. It's just a complete pivot. But it's the sixth or something time that this has happened. I will say that this same company ripped off one of our quotes that we'd put in a couple of hours of work. It was a pitch. It had all the information. Basically,
that's my favorite story. It's the first thing that we did together.
Yes.
I wrote this. So it's a fun story. Tommy, the first thing that big media company quoted for was this this job. And I was actually in Barcelona at the time. I put together this pitch. And the company didn't have many details on what they wanted.
Yeah.
But they're like, we need a quote. We need to sort of... And so we did what some people call a reverse brief, where we went through and we're like, okay, this is what you need.
Yeah.
And then we put together price.
This is what each video would look like. This is where what we would sort of ask.
These are the questions. This is like all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, we gave all those details. They said thanks. And then Frisbee & Co., your old business.
Yeah.
So this was under big media company, a big media company branding.
Our new business. My old business, Frisbee & Co., was a production company, and my contact at this business had asked for that quote, and so I sent it through big media company.
Yeah,
and then I get an email from one of Josh's good mates.
Yeah,
Till.
Yeah, in WA.
Till from WA, great film company. What's his?
He's actually just going as Till Spilhoff.
Till Spilhoff.
So if you're in what's the beautiful Murray? What's the river?
Margaret River. Yeah. Sick. Tillspilhoff.com. Hopefully he's got the .com.
Yeah. But he does all that region. So he does like vineyards and shit like that.
His son is born on the same day as my son. It's so cool. Anyway, so Till had moved over from Melbourne and this same company had got onto Till and said, Till, do you know anyone that could quote on this job?
Yeah.
Till says, yeah. Didn't go to Josh because Josh is overseas. But emails Frisbee & Co.
Yeah.
Says, hey, mate, you want a quote on this job?
And so the first time they quoted, they were hearing from big media company. They didn't see the connection that it was like Frisbee & Co. But what they've done is what they got Frisbee & Co. to quote on was literally a copy and paste from my reverse proposal. But what I love about Tommy is that he took a phone call with them.
So I got... Basically, Till did he just said, do you want this job? I can connect you. I said, yeah, great. And then she emailed me, that woman. Mm-hmm. So she emailed me with all the details. And the details were the copy and paste from our document that we fucking had already quoted. And so I'm like, this is actually fucking ridiculous. I'm going to call this woman straight away. And I let it sit a little bit. I didn't jump in and say, hey, just so you know, FYI, this is the... I was like, okay, you know, tell me a little bit about the project. And I got it to a point where I was like, and wasn't trying to trap her or anything.
But
I was
just a little bit. Why not?
Yeah, yeah, it was. But I was just trying to, see how much bullshit they would spit.
Yeah.
And I got to a point where I said, look, I've got to tell you, that quote that was sent through, that reverse brief, it was actually us.
Yeah.
The embarrassment that came out of this woman's mouth. You know what you've done. Mm. You've fucked it.
100%. I think that's the industry. That's the industry saying. But they 100% fucked it. And so, I mean, the great thing was the hilarious thing is they get us to, then it becomes a dialogue because it wasn't like they came back to us on that first one and said, you're too expensive. They just basically, but they then told you that, didn't they?
Oh, that's right.
They were like, oh no, it was just because you got, big media company was a bit too expensive. And then we're like, okay, what are we talking here? And we're like, well, let's shift this. And that was right. There was so much ambiguity in the whole project that you end up highballing it a little bit to allow for the bullshit tax.
Of course. I mean, it was such a funny learning. I mean, that's the thing in small business.
Same client that fucked us today.
Exactly. That's why we're pissed.
Yeah.
We didn't
end up doing that other job, by the way. So it was like, it was a big job. It was like interstate. It was in the tens of thousands of dollars. They'd actually said yes. They're the type of company that have 60-day terms.
Oh, ridiculous.
And so part of it is we can't be victims. We make the choice of what we do. And part of that is I think it's like a no-fuck-wits policy.
Yeah.
And I think that if we had a board, I think we can safely put them on that that board.
Yeah, yeah, no-fuck-wits board.
Yeah.
The problem is my mate works there and he's a lovely guy that knows exactly what's happening and he hasn't been a part of any of these fuckeries.
Yeah. Anyway,
it's a hard one.
3D deal, is this? Do they have HSP in Canada?
Yes. Sorry, I had food in my mouth.
That's okay. It's Fat Fridays.
I'm just trying to be polite.
Oh, sorry.
No, we do have them. We don't call them HSPs though.
What are they called?
We just call them shawarmas.
They're not HSPs then. You're saying there's chips with meat over the top and sauce.
Yeah.
So it's an open shawarma.
Pretty much.
Mm. Interesting.
So like you can get them with chips or rice.
So it looks the exact same as this?
It looks pretty much the exact same. I'll see if I have a photo actually we can compare.
We have our hype man. Oh. We have a hype man, our hype man coming on the
weekend
podcast.
Banter. Yeah,
weekend banter. BMAC. His brother works over in New York, lives there.
Mm-hmm. Does he work for an NBA team?
His brother works for Mark Cuban.
Oh, that's right.
Mark Cuban owns an NBA team, mm-hmm. but he works in the what's that, E-League, like the online league. It's cool. Anyway, we'll hear a bit about that.
Esports.
Mm-hmm. And so he posted a photo because Shepparton, where BMAC's from, that's where I met him. Okay.
Have you been to Shepparton?
Yeah, before? I spent a couple of years there working in radio.
Yeah.
Anyone? No questions? Oh, no, that's fine. I thought I heard Mr. 97 asking a question.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, so.
Where actually is it? Where is Shepparton for people who.
Northeast.
Of Victoria, from Melbourne.
Yeah, 2 and a bit hours. Mm-hmm. 2 hours from Melbourne. Anyway, Shepparton's the home of the HSP. There's a lot of fucking HSP restaurants there.
That's a classic HSP. It's even a burp. It's your body just fucking rejecting it.
Yeah. If there's a trap door to my stomach, it just fucking went the wrong way. Yeah.
Actually, that's what Brie gets. When I get indigestion, Brie actually gets mad at me. Do you think that's a fair thing to get mad at, indigestion?
I think it's fair if you've scoffed your food like a child and you've eaten obviously too quickly and Bree's told you about 70 million times. Mm. Or expensive chocolate. Is that what you said? Yeah. So don't be a pig. Anyway, he posted a photo. He posted a photo on this like HSP meme page or something.
Yeah.
It went viral. It fucking went nuts. And it was all like the best HSP in the world. I'm traveling from America to get over to find it. Something like that.
Really?
It was really sick. It was really sick. Anyway, we'll find out about it. I didn't even.
Food stuff online just does well. Brie, can you go up to Mr. 97's mic just very quickly? The Instagram account that you followed and then unfollowed last night, what was that called?
Oh, it's a Hot Chips account. Hot and they rate the best hot chips in Melbourne. Oh, no, actually, and they give you all the prices and the portion sizes. It's called that minimum chips or something. I can find the right link.
It's because you'll be like a minimum order or like a...
Yeah, so there's literally...
Minimum chips means different things to everybody.
Chips, yeah. So it's minimum chips, and so there's just photos of of chips. There's probably... I think they've Brie unfollowed them because why did you unfollow them? Was it because there wasn't enough chips?
It was follow options. For follow, and they didn't follow back.
There was like 10 posts or something, and none of it was near me, so I didn't care about it. It's like Yarraville, all that area.
If you're in Yarraville, but it's a very yellow heavy sort of aesthetic. The look. Thanks, Brie.
I tell you what, we filled out our aesthetic yesterday on the Insta. A lot of posts, and especially one.
Gazman
from
model.
One from the Gazman model, but also one from Thailand.
Do you want to talk about that now while I smash down some HSP?
Yeah, so basically we did the reveal of the contents of my stripper box, which, I mean, it was the highest engaged post of me when I was 19 with a much better rig than I do now. It's sloppy as fuck. Anyway, I had, that was like, that post... Who says sex doesn't sell? Who says 19-year-old nipples don't sell? Because it was 80% higher engagement than any of our other posts. Mm-hmm. Until Funny Boy.
Funny Boy, that was my Bali nickname. But no, so I was actually just looking back at photos. I've asked Jace Hawkins, who we had on the show at the beginning of the week. I was listening to his show and he off the cuff said, I want to start... I might start at a gym. Mm.
Amazing, because I've been saying you should come to the gym with me for long.
Well, you...
why Jace? What's just because he's a fresh piece of meat?
Yeah, well, you get so upset. You're like, oh, you'd fucking lick Jace's asshole is what you said. You did, didn't you?
Yeah, and I said you'd like it.
Well, just because I'll go to the gym with Jace.
Yeah, but
apparently,
not me.
Yeah, I think that's come hurt people hurt people. When you're upset that I'll only go to the gym if Jace does.
Anyway, we'll put the photo up right... on the Daily Talk Show logo right now of what Josh posted. Mr. 97, take a note.
Well, so that's
doing that later.
That's what I was saying to. I sent it to Jace as a bit of a like, hey, this is where I've sort of come from. And there's, if you go to Instagram, you'll see the photo. It's me. I've got some blue and white Hawaiian style 40s.
Well, you posted this because you said Tommy's photo of him in his bathers got a lot of likes. Firstly, it was not my bathers. Secondly, it was my stripper outfit.
I know, but the bathers sort of played
easier. I get the joke.
Sorry, I didn't have a stripper outfit.
Sorry. You said, so I thought I'd post a photo of me in my bathers from around the same year to outdo his post. Has it been outdone?
Yes.
Definitely. How outdone? Let me hit, okay.
Well, so you guys can't, if you're in Australia, you can't see, or in Canada.
Well, I can tell how many, I can work it out. 18 comments on my photo.
Let's not talk about comments.
With 81 likes.
You're still going to win.
I know, that's why I'm setting you up to win, bro.
Oh, well, this is very rare. So I'll take it in.
So 18 and 80.
18 likes and 81. Oh, sorry, 18 comments and 81 likes.
And then Funny Boy in Thailand in his, when we say bathers, it's you're in a full outfit, but that's how you went in the water.
Absolutely.
You have 23 comments and something.
155 likes.
Jesus, it's blown up. It's blown up. He was blown up. Yeah. It's all blown up.
I mean, Brie hated those glasses in that photo because they were very small. And so with my face, it just sort of rounded it all out.
I mean, my concern being with this post is I love that it went viral. I love that it went
viral
on our page. Let's just use the term. Went viral on our page. But I love the long – your old PT wrote –
there. Glenn Munso.
Glenn, and then he also mentioned about the time. I remember when I ran into you at Coles and you were holding four blocks of chocolate, the look on your face. Do you remember it?
Yeah, I definitely remember it. Well, I think I was actually, it was around the time where I started doing this 365-day project where I was taking photos of myself, and I think I may have been at the supermarket because Brie and I, as a tradition, every night would go to Coles.
Yeah.
And we would get Cadbury chocolate, but we would we could never agree on flavors.
Yeah,
but I think so it's a classic fucking El Paso ad. Oh, why don't we do both?
Yeah.
So you end up
Mi
with
casa, like, what is it? No, I was going to say Mi casa su casa, which is my house, your house, or something like that. I thought, isn't that what Mi casa su casa?
Doesn't she literally say?
Yeah.
She says it in Spanish, does she?
Yeah.
But anyway,
and,
so.
Yeah. The funny thing that's come out of this post of you, and I've been thinking a bit about it. I mean, I stitched you up last week with an unhealthy waffle prank.
They're all being food related. And what I said is that.
You got to be honest, it's an easy get with you.
Yeah.
But it's also your Achilles heel. Like it's.
Well, that's I guess the funny thing about the photo is there's two perspectives that you could look at it from. One of them, which is my default, is the light, haha, have a look at this. This is pretty crazy. But then there is the more sort of, not darker side. That's not the right.
It's the human emotional side.
Even Bree said, says you look sad in that photo.
I would agree.
Zoom in the face.
Your chin is actually just a part of the neck and then into your chest.
Which is fine, which I think that like.
And I'm not even trying to be mean, I'm just being factual.
And that's the thing. And so part of it is when you've been that weight, you always sort of feel like you're that weight. Or there is that feeling that it's going to come back. Mm. Like if anything, it feels like I'm renting a body now, but that is actually where it's always.
What's the problem with renting your whole life? There's a lot of people who do it, they can't afford. Can't afford anything else.
Yeah, you've taken it very literally.
They invest in the stock market. They just haven't chose to buy a home. That's you. You're investing in the stock market. This is it. Anyway, there's a few people that have had this more human thought behind this post. Rather,
I think they're all human. One of them is maybe more emotionally aware.
They're being thoughtful. Emotionally,
but it's also
thoughtful.
Considering that, like, I think that the default laugh at it all. Wow, that's you. Is culture that well? That's the culture that is the Australian default. Maybe
it's also what you've permitted based on being like you're like this now, and no one would laugh at you if you were posting photos.
However, there's a lot of people who are at the start of their journey. They're there. How does it feel for them consuming that content?
I mean, we're all in our own journey. So anyone who is skinny promoting their skinniness, because you could see this as just like actually promoting the fact that you lost a fuckload of weight. It's not saying how I did it, but it's just like, this was me. I've changed. You could look at the positives. You can take out of it that you've been on a long mission.
Part of it is I've had a physical change.
Yeah.
And so we see a physical change as a positive change.
Yeah.
And there is like a bunch of positive stuff to it. Mm. Like I worked in some way, some form of balance that over a long period of time I lost weight. Mm. But it doesn't necessarily, like there's more to all of it. Like there's behind every one of these like weight loss stories, there's probably a lot of anxiety for the future, which is I don't want to get back to there.
Yeah. And so Goldie Guts. Anna has, a friend of mine has written in, she said, you seem to downplay this time and transition when you chat. Hope you get empowerment from this, love heart. Stories, hashtag vulnerable, which is essentially what you're doing. And then Marianne, she's written, wowzers. It's tricky making a comment, especially when weight gain and weight loss.
I feel like I can't fucking eat the HSP while we're reading this.
It is Fat Fridays. It is interesting how people can treat you differently depending on your exterior as opposed to the person who lives within. Mm. Josh, you've made an incredible change to your exterior and no doubt his world to bring you some internal happiness and acceptance. But I have a feeling that intangible element that makes you was always within. Love the spirit that you are and the crazy, hilarious fun you and the boys bring to the world, especially at 14 when you shoved the squidgy in your ass and you told that story.
You added that bit in, didn't you?
Definitely.
It's funny. Jace did the same thing on his show. He was reading out this really nice message.
I'm actually good.
It's just like you can't fucking.
I'm really good.
No,
at
you
that.
You couldn't allow something nice just to sit. You know, just had to. No, but I think that that's lovely. Mm. I think there is a little bit of that. I think that the. I don't know, like everyone's got their own insecurities.
Yeah.
And that's a constant one that I have. So if my mental health isn't great, weight does become an issue, whether that means I'm eating more. Or I'm thinking about it more, or like that's the friction point.
It's Yeah, habit breaking. I mean, it's so complex because it's just beyond, it's beyond the calories. Mm. It's definitely, there's a, I watched a doco last night, I was spruiking the good word.
50-50-50.
Yeah, 50-50-50. 50 Ironmans, Ironmans, an Ironman race, which is 3.8 kilometer swim, 180 kilometer bike ride and a full marathon. 50 of those in 50 days across 50 states. This bloke named James, an American dude, embarked on this journey. He was the first in the world to do 30 in a year, and that was across 6 months.
I'm guessing it's a full-time job at that point.
50 days. Like, think about the hour. So it's, say if he runs the marathon in 4 hours, being, say 4 hours, he does the swim in 2.5 hours.
Was he an ambassador for anyone? Anyone?
It was YouTube on a brain? Mission to raise money for the Jamie Oliver Foundation. So for obese children. So it's education, and it's a really good thing. I mean, this is the thing. He's a real advocate for, you know, he the way he put it so nicely, there was his mum who ran the last 5 days. She did 5 miles every day up until the end, which, and he said this a couple of times, what's hard for me is doing an Ironman per day.
Yeah.
What's hard for you is just hard for you. It doesn't mean that it's I'm better. It's like we all have our own hard and we're all up against shit that's hard. And so the person that is the fittest person out there, they've got their hard, but it's, we're not comparing it to your hard.
Well, it's like generalizations I think are interesting, right? Like the other weekend, got really annoyed at what we would class as junkies that were all over the place, and they're all just fucking like, because they were fucking screaming. And
it's
they
like
were
a zombie apocalypse. Like on a Saturday around this hood, it's like, they just are all stumbling around. They got neat.
They're just like, it feels like they're just, which sounds really bad, but it's like they're in the way of the world. And it's sad. I guess like it hit me this morning as I was walking in.
One of them?
No, but there was someone who was walking who's probably like not drug affected, but that you could class them as a junkie. And I looked and I was like, they just look like sad and broken and they're fucking walking along. Mm. And I'm like, oh, like that's, I had empathy in the moment for them. I'm like, oh, I hope they're like okay. Mm. But it's, yeah, it's crazy because, you know.
My empathy has increased from doing meditation. Understanding that we don't control the thoughts that come into our mind. They're a product of our environment and, you know, what we've consumed, what we've done in our lives and the people around us. But we don't control what's firing. And the people that are running their life off what's firing can be a fucking dangerous existence. And a painful one at that, and being the observer of your thoughts, you know, if we can't control the thoughts that are being fired, we can observe them and hopefully sort of work out why, you know, have a sort of a, not even a logical view, but just being the
clarity.
Just being the observer of what's happening and trying to reduce some of the emotion. And so when I look at these people who are in a world of pain, I look at them and I think, imagine the thoughts firing off in their mind. Imagine the pain that they're in, which, and I think it's, you could look at anyone like that. You could look at the person that's 300 kilos, 200 kilos, you know, and that's the shit that's very hard to rewire, remap. You're thinking around that Josh Jansen who was 19, who was 130 kilos.
120.
Sorry, mate.
Add 10
for the story.
No, but I wonder what the, how do you be an observer? How do you be empathetic? How do you be an observer but also not have it control you and your day?
Are you saying these external people?
Like, so for instance, if you're like,
we're all going
to
die.
But if you look around, if I was actually to be connected to the moment in regards to, okay, I'm going to give those people the benefit of the doubt or I'm going to put the story, the empathetic story.
I think it's dropping the story. I think it is the power of meditation, the power of mindfulness is to drop back, to remove yourself from that firing thought, mm-hmm. that story that goes off about that person, how it's affecting you. Because we're all just swimming in this fucking world of pain for, mm. you know, a lot of it. Like, you could see yourself, you could look at yourself as, you might identify that you don't have this pain, but if you're sort of constantly just driven by thought, it can be a painful existence mm. because when's their peace? When is their peace?
Yeah.
And so if we're judging people, if we're looking at, which we all, I think we do it naturally. I think we all try, we just need to try harder to sort of pull back, but we're all going to die. Like yeah. these people, like it's also everyone else. It's like, I love the thought of, the people, you know, the interactions you have may be the last interaction you ever have with this human. You know, if we're all got a number to us, mm-hmm. which is pretty brutal, but it's like if we've all got a finite number of interactions in this world, on this planet, the human interaction, if it's negative, you can't go back on it and it adds to the tally of, and it's going down. It's like, what's that fucking map? You know, it's like a, it's almost like someone's built this sort of chart that has the average age of existence
yeah. and you can see when you're going to die,
which is, if you looked at, if you knew the number of interactions you'd have with humans moving forward, you'd, I think you'd try and make them more positive and more empathetic. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's a full on thought.
Mr. 97, your clothing today is
not on fleek.
Yeah, if I'm being empathetic.
He didn't want to blow it too early.
Yeah, no, so you've gone back on your rebrand.
Well, I mean, temporarily, I wanted to wear my Asics shoes because my Achilles were hurting and I've got to go to the gym tonight. So, especially after that, it just.
What do you mean your Achilles are hurting? Just the back of your ankle, the lower part is hurting?
Yeah, because from wearing the other shoes, I don't have any support or anything. So,
oh, poor baby.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I think we should definitely.
I think there's some. I just need to bring up the virality of our page.
It was stop. Well, have you watched something about being going viral? And now that's what you talk about.
So, he may come second when it comes to the likes on his post yesterday. We had a carousel of all the different looks.
The shoe thing very quickly. Mm.
80. Oh, no. How many comments did you get?
I got 18.
He got 80. Mr. 97, just clap that in. That's the fucking, that's the post of the week. A post of the week. We should do that. Post of the week. It's a new thing.
I love when Tommy works out a segment with the confessions of a Gronk. Yeah. We're giving it post of the week.
Post of the week goes to Mr. 97.
Yeah. We put up a carousel with four photos.
That were shot on the $10,000 camera.
Yeah. looks great, by the way, doesn't it? It looks
unbelievable.
Like a,
dude, it's a fucking high-end fashion shoot. Yeah. Yeah. They'd shoot shit for Vogue on that camera.
Yeah, it definitely would. And so we're going to put out the video today, the behind the scenes, which Karen did an epic job of editing, by the way.
Gronk Karen, absolute superstar. 18-year-old superstar, just killing it.
And so, Naysev, you're wearing something different today. But upon reflection of what people are saying, what did you take out of the comments, the feedback around your rebrand?
Thirst.
Mum picked some good clothes.
Okay, great.
Oh, Mum picked them.
I mean, I put them on and then she's like, yeah, that one.
Okay, yeah. Affirmation.
Yeah, yeah.
Does she go in the change rooms with you, like near the area? Where does she wait?
I mean, she'll just, I'll go change and then she'll just walk around the store looking to see if there's anything else I could try on.
Yeah. Go on. How many things did you actually try on?
The whole store, pretty much.
Really? How long were you in there for?
Oh, it would have been over an hour.
Fuck.
Poor bloke at the front. Yeah. Just, we dumped all of the clothes here. He had to go put them back.
I hope he had Asics on because his Achilles would be fucking burning from an hour of standing in a retail shop. And so you tried on all the different outfits. Mm. You sort of landed on a knit.
Yeah.
A jumper, would you call it, that's not a knit, or were there two knits?
No, they're two knits.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. Two knits, three pairs of pants. Uh-huh. A single pants pant. Do you ever say pant?
Pair of pant. No.
Pair of pants.
Yeah, pair of pants.
Put your pant on.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Pair of pants. Pants. Anyway, what's your point of all this?
No, we're just recapping if you didn't see the Instagram thing. And so anyway, which outfit do you think is going to become your daily driver?
I think probably the blue jeans and the black jeans would be the ones that I'll
You can't wear
between.
Two jeans at once.
You can if you're wearing my stripper ones, because if you don't want them on, you just...
Wait, so... okay.
I'll switch between the blue and the black.
Do you reckon, can you return those sand pants?
Yeah, probably.
What size are they? 32?
32 or 33.
33. Yeah. Easy, mate. I could wear them. How much were they?
Like $100 maybe.
I'll give you 40.
Have you ripped the tags off?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's perfect.
I'll give you 30. No, I would wear them, dude. We'll see. My birthday coming up. It's Father's Day too. It's 1 month away pretty much from my birthday.
That's good.
Father's Day, same day. Think about it,
September
baby.
14 is my birthday.
September 1 is mine. Mine's first.
August 28th is my birthday. Mine's first. Thank
you're
you
not here,
August
28th. You won't be here, so... Oh, yeah.
Actually, what day do you fly out, 3D?
August 27th.
Shit. It's like a month. It's like 4 weeks.
Yeah. It's not long at all.
How are you feeling about stepping back into life? Stepping back into the real world?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Has this felt like you're in some kind of... elaborate production.
It feels like a dream. It's like each day I wake up and I go get a coffee. It's like, yeah, I'm fucking here right now.
We'll take that snippet and use it in our employer brand video. Want to work with a big media company? It will feel like a dream.
And so, what are you most excited about? Because I think Brie asked me this last night. Is 3D Dill excited to go home?
I'm looking forward to see my family again. Obviously, because like I
have FaceTime.
I do miss. Yeah, we have FaceTime.
He has to say that.
Yeah, I have to say that. That's the thing.
But also...
My parents watched the show, so...
Okay, go on.
Mom, Dad, I can't wait to come back.
Oh, dude, hang on. Just quickly. Fucking last night, I'm on in bed on Insta, as you do, and we're getting... There's someone on the like train in our profile, and I click onto the profile. It's someone with the last name of Toraville, but it's actually a fucking cat.
Yeah.
What's Rosie doing? Who's Rosie Toraville?
Rosie would be my cat.
Hello, fellow humans. I have too much free time on my hands, so I created an Instagram account.
Who created that?
The cat did. No, my younger sisters do it together.
Oh, that's great.
Follow. We said we would. I followed it.
So you followed the cat back.
I hate very cats, good. But...
And so what are you most excited about, other than family?
I am excited to get back to school and more excited just to finish school.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have 8 months. I have my thesis to do. And I'm looking forward to the challenge of it because I know it's going to be a long, challenging, expensive 8 months. But I'm also looking forward to like being done with school so that I can not get on with my life, but do something.
It's a new chapter.
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
This is the problem with long university courses. You haven't been weathered for the storm.
Mm.
Can't weather the storm. So did I use that correctly?
I don't know.
No, I think
there's something.
You haven't been conditioned.
Anyway. Yeah.
Let me just pick that up again. You haven't been conditioned.
We don't need that. You want it as a snippet though.
No, just in case, you know.
Mr. 97, any admin, you're on the emails. You're actually writing back to people when they email us in height@thedailytalkshow.com.
Yeah. Well, Alex, she sent in a message about Aussie food because we asked what food Dill would want.
Oh, yes.
What food we should get Dill before he leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So she sent through a link with iconic Aussie food, which has got pavlova,
yum,
fish and chips,
yum,
just had it.
Anzac biscuits, yum, we're gonna make.
Had it.
Soft or hard? What do you prefer?
Amy made them.
Oh yeah.
Did you get any?
I got one.
Yeah, I had like three.
She likes them, but Amy makes an amazing pav too.
Great.
Or why wouldn't you allow her to make one? I remember that was being
intentions. Because it can be a bit sloppy. It would have had to be made the night before.
A baby.
Amy did mention that she was going to make pavlova.
Yeah, she will. Maybe we'll do it on a weekend.
Great.
Why?
Just so we can actually make it on the day so it's nice.
Okay, so we're all going to hang out on like a Saturday or something.
Might be something like that, if you're lucky.
All right. Maybe we do it as a weekend banter.
We might invite you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, and the last one, which I reckon would be interesting, is
was there a fly in front? What were you just doing
there? No, there was a fly.
Okay.
Witchetty grubs.
What are witchetty grubs?
No.
They're Aussie bush tucker.
Ah, okay, sure.
Just those fat.
You can't say no.
Yeah, I'm aware.
You can't say no.
No, seriously, I think it's a great idea.
You have?
We should try all those things.
No, I think it'd be fun. It's all good. I've eaten heaps.
All right.
It's the Daily Talk Show.
Cheers for your Fat Fridays. We'll see a weekend banter. Pete Shepherd on tomorrow and then Cal and BMAC.
The band's back together from Shepparton.
Yeah.
That's my homies.
Yeah. If you've listened this far, do an Insta story. celebrate us. We'll celebrate you back. We'll fucking regram it.
Unless you've been blacklisted as a company.
Which we're not saying who they are yet.
No.
Will we eventually reveal? Can we? Episode 500, we'll do a big sign or something. Big fuck you. Maybe do it at their office. No?
Should I say it and then you just beep it out?
No, it can't be fucked. No, doing other work.
Today's
talk show.
That's not the fucking spirit we want around the office.
We'll see you for weekend banter tomorrow, guys.
See you guys.